from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. Coming up a little bit later this hour, around 5:40, Will West joins us from Knoxville to talk some Tennessee Vols. He's a co-host on Sports Radio WNML. But right now, this is a special treat for me. During my formative years of liking football, preteen, my teenage years, you know, it was one of these things growing up in Alabama. I never got the chance often to see my favorite team, the New York Jets, play, but I did see the team that my next guest was a part of often throughout the 70s. How about the one and only Drew Pearson, Dallas Cowboys legend, the lone senior finalist for this year's Pro Football Hall of Fame class? Drew, first of all, welcome to the show. It's a real honor to have you on.
Thank you, Ballpark. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for that intro. Appreciate that.
You know, it's interesting, you know, when I go back to watching you play in the 70s, there's so many things today when I look at your bio and learn more about you that none of that was really out there. Let's take you back to your high school days. I mean, at what point did Joe Theismann, did anybody, you or your teammates, ever joke with him about, hey, maybe you should change your last name to Theismann? Because Joe Theismann, your very first touchdown in high school was thrown by your high school teammate, the future Joe Theismann.
Yeah, Joe Theismann, but in South River back then it was Joey Theismann. Of course, he went to Notre Dame, had a chance to win the Heisman Trophy, so he changed his name. To get that, he changed his name from Theismann to Theismann, to rhyme with Heisman that year. But he didn't win it, so we still call him Joey Theismann back home. But, yeah, my first high school football game, I was a sophomore and he was a senior. And I was starting at wide receiver and safety on defense. And you got to understand that South River High School football is a big deal in South River, New Jersey, in the state of New Jersey, especially when you condense it down to Middlesex County. So, you know, we've always been perennial. We got an NFL Hall of Famer in Alex Wojciechowicz, one of the seven blocks of granite, played with Fordham University with the great Vince Lombardi. And he's an NFL Hall of Famer, former center, former South River High School player. So we got a rich tradition. But playing as a sophomore and starting was a big deal. But I'm nervous as hell. I waited a while in the game. And I ran a crossing route. Joey was scrambling to the left, and he threw the ball as far as they could. And I caught the ball for a touchdown. And in Ballpark, I caught the ball standing in the end zone, and it turned out to be a 60-yard touchdown pass from Joe Theismann in high school. So that was my first reception. And, of course, we had a great team. We were undefeated that year, 9-0. We only played 9 games back then, and we were unscored upon for 6 of the games. And then when the football ended, we were the backcourt in basketball. And then when basketball ended, he was the shortstop and I was the second baseman in baseball. So we played a lot of ball together. And we still keep in touch. He's a great guy.
You know, one of the things that stands out to me also, you know, you played your college ball at Tulsa. And just knowing that era and that time frame, the fact that you actually, because you played quarterback too in high school. In fact, after Joe Theismann, then Theismann left, you know, you also started playing in that role as far as quarterback. But the fact that you were also able to get some quarterback action at Tulsa before converting to wide receiver, that kind of stands out to me, mainly because I know what that era was like, and you didn't see a lot of African Americans playing quarterback at the college level.
You certainly didn't. And, you know, I really wanted to be a wide receiver ever since sophomore in high school. But once Joey left, I was the best athlete available, so they moved me to quarterback. They had to talk me into doing it. And then by the senior year, I became all-state, and I was recruited as a quarterback. And I chose Tulsa over the University of Nebraska. They wanted me as a quarterback as well. And the reason I chose Tulsa is because they had a great baseball program, and baseball was my favorite sport. I was all-state in baseball. After Joey left, I moved to shortstop, and then senior year I was in center field, my natural position. And so I wanted to play baseball, and Tulsa was going to give me that opportunity. But Ballpark, you're right. The climate down there was very much something that I did not expect, something I wasn't used to. at South River, I was the only African-American on the football team for 3 years, three seasons. And then you go into Tulsa in this environment where the class I was with was an influx of African-Americans, the first influx of African-Americans at the University of Tulsa, not the first African-Americans on the team. They had some guys previously play on the team, but the climate was very negative, dare I say, racist. My father took me down there on a Saturday afternoon for my initial enrollment. He was supposed to leave that Sunday afternoon after he got me settled. He ended up staying a whole week because he didn't want to leave me there. And the last thing he said when he left, he said, "Drew, you sure you want to stay here?" Now, Ballpark, you got to understand, my dad would never, ever let us quit anything, okay? You start it, you finish it. But this situation, he walked around town and saw all the situations, the white-black separation and all that kind of stuff, you know, remnants of the Tulsa Massacre from 1921. So he was very concerned about me staying there. But, you know, I decided to stick it out, and as it turned out, it worked out for the best. I learned a lot being in that environment and making those adjustments to survive, so to speak, in that environment and get the kind of education I needed, number one, and still have the ability to play athletically on the football field on D1 college level and still deal with certain issues that were going on around Tulsa, including the campus. So it was an experience, no doubt, no doubt.
Having a chance to visit with the legendary Drew Pearson, you know, I bring this up because, you know, coming out of Tulsa, it wasn't like you were a first round or second round or third round draft pick. You were undrafted. You know, as far as those experiences that you had high school wise, college wise, you know, I go back to the story, your first year with, you know, you're an undrafted free agent, signed with the Cowboys. Obviously, you weren't making a lot of money. Your signing bonus was not huge. So you worked during the day. I get this, you know, you were working at a sporting goods store with, what, Harvey Martin, Billy Joe Dupree. And then at night, you actually worked out a lot with Roger Staubach to make yourself a better player, and you were able to stick with the Cowboys.
Well, Ballpark, as the story goes, when I moved to down to Tulsa after I finished my senior year, I didn't graduate, but, you know, it was, I had signed with the Cowboys as a free agent, and Gil Grant invited me down to come to Dallas to work out, most of the rookies as well. And Gil Grant set me up with an apartment right across from the Cowboys practice field parking lot. And I got to learn what car Roger Staubach was driving. So every time he pulled in that parking lot, I would run off my balcony and run down the stairs from my apartment and run over to the practice field and start working out with him because I'd be the only guy there. And so we developed a rapport right then. But after I would do those workouts with him, I would go to Merchant's Van Line and load semi-trucks with all different type of merchandise in the afternoon. And then after that, I'd go back to the practice field and work out. Well, Roger noticed I was tired and a little worn down. He asked me what I was doing. I told him I was working after the workouts and all that. So he went to Gil Grant and said, "Ask Gil Grant, can you do something for this guy? He shows some potential." And in doing that, Gil Grant invited me and gave me $500. And so I could quit that job and concentrate on working at the Cowboy practice field, trying to make that Cowboy football team. But once I made the team, now, you know, I made $14,500 my rookie year. I hit all my incentives on my contract because I started the 10th game of my rookie season. I hit all of the incentives, so that got me up to $22,500. And so in the off season, you know, that money ran out. We got that money over 14 weeks of the NFL season. And when the off season came, there was no money coming in, so we had to go to work. And that off season, Harvey Martin, Billy Joe Dupree, and myself, we went to the Zales Corporation, went right to the CEO office and waited there till he could meet with us and ask him for a job. And he gave us a job in sporting goods, and Harvey Martin was selling shoes, and me and Billy Joe were selling sporting goods. and going doing that during the day, and then going to the practice field and working out, trying to extend another year, you know, with the Dallas Cowboys. So that was real back then. It's a little different now. You know, they have a little more leeway financially, you know, to do what they need to do and to stay in shape and have all the necessary facilities, equipment, and everything to get to be in maximum shape. And that's what kind of what you're seeing now, you know, with these NFL players. But back in the day, we had to be a little creative in what we did to survive and stay around.
That's why I always go back to, because you're an all-pro player, I always go back, you know, what the Pro Bowl is like today compared to the Pro Bowl that I was growing up watching. And back then, you know, because of the salaries not being what they are today, you know, it meant something if you were on the winning team in the Pro Bowl game, because the winners made more money than the losers. So there was that extra incentive when we're talking about the Pro Bowl game of the 70s compared to what we're looking at today.
Absolutely, and we were playing for that money, okay? We needed that. We looked at it like a bonus, you know? We wanted that money. It got heated, you know? You go through the practices. I played in three of them, and you go through the practices, and the pace is all week long, and it's pretty cool. You're prancing around and all that kind of stuff. You're hanging out with Walter Payton, which was really cool, and everybody said, we just want to have fun, and then you know, go through the pregame warm-ups. You run into the other guys on the other team, and yeah, let's just have a good time and have some fun. But as soon as they blow that whistle, it's on from there, because we were going for that money, and we talked about that. We needed that winner's share. Everybody in that locker room wanted that winner's share. I don't remember what it was, but I do remember it was a big difference from the winner's share to the loser's share. So we competed that way to try to win the football game and to get that extra money. And I remember Chuck Knox, from the Los Angeles Rams, was my coach, I think, for two of those Pro Bowls. And I remember my first one, he was saying, men, we're going to do two things. We're going to win, we're going to have fun. And he said, we can't have fun unless we win. So let's go out there and win. And I think I won a couple of those Pro Bowl games.
I absolutely love that. Visiting with Drew Pearson. All right, so back in the 30s, you know, Notre Dame and a few of the Catholic universities, they would throw out the term Hail Mary, but it didn't really stick. You know, it didn't make national news per se. Roger Staubach, when he was playing with Navy in one of the broadcasts in 63 when he was quarterback for Navy, he threw it out there, still didn't resonate with the country. It wasn't until winning a playoff game where he completes a pass to you, and after the game he makes the comment, you know, just throwing it up there and saying a Hail Mary, and that stuck. And so today, because of what you did in that playoff game in 75 against Minnesota, now whether it's high school or college or the NFL, we all know about the Hail Mary.
Yes, we do, and it's become part of sports vernacular, of course, but also business vernacular, charitable vernacular, life vernacular. There's all kinds of situations that, you know, your back is to the wall and you overcome those situations, and, you know, everybody refers to that as catching a Hail Mary or using a Hail Mary to overcome those situations. So it's pretty cool to be coming to the league as an undrafted free agent. And to, you know, I had three opportunities to sign as a free agent, and I could have signed with Pittsburgh or Green Bay and Dallas. And I think I made the right choice at that time. And to be able to play under Tom Landry and Roger Staubach and all those other great players, Hall of Fame players, man, that enhanced my abilities and made me a better football player. And because of that, it put me in position to have success in situations like when the clock is running out and they need to play, and, you know, you get a Hail Mary, you make a Hail Mary catch that's later referred to as a Hail Mary catch to win the football game to help all these guys and it's a great coach win this football game. And so there's nothing greater than that feeling and the satisfaction you get. You know, people talk about, you know, for years, I thought my middle name was Why Aren't You? Because people would come up to me for 29 years after I retired as a Dallas Cowboy, come up to me and say, why aren't you in the Dallas Cowboy Ring of Honor?
Right.
So I finally got into that. And then they kept saying, why aren't you in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? So that's what, you know, hopefully I'll get rid of that question as well, coming up soon, hopefully. But, you know, just having something named after your great iconic play in NFL history, and they refer to that, for when they refer to that play, of course, they refer to Roger Staubach and the Dallas Cowboys, but they also refer to Drew Pearson.
You know, I go back to the 70s when somebody asked me, what was your favorite decade of the NFL? And I think about the great teams of the 70s, and it might be one of the reasons why, you know, I got to know Kenny Stabler before he passed away. And, you know, here's a guy that was a finalist for the Hall of Fame, never got in, and they finally put him in after he passed away. But you look at the teams, you know, Pittsburgh, 4 Super Bowls, but you had so many great teams then. It could have been the decade for the Oakland Raiders. It could have been the Miami Dolphins decade. It could have been the Dallas Cowboys decade. It could have been Minnesota's decade. And so when you think about it, we're not just talking about average teams or above average teams. We're talking about great teams, and any one of those 5 teams, it could have been their decade. And I think a lot of it has to do is, because I bring up you, and certainly locally, you know, I started my career in athletics after working in professional baseball. I was sports information director and then later associate AD at Tennessee State, home to one Ed Too Tall Jones, one of your teammates. And I've thrown it out there all the time. How come Drew Pearson and how come Ed Too Tall Jones are not in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, and it boggles my mind. You know, I'm not saying the guys that are in aren't Hall of Famers,
right?
Because they certainly are. But as I am saying, if they are, then certainly I think I should be, to toot my own horn. But I also think guys like Too Tall Jones or Harvey Martin. Look at Harvey Martin's record. Cliff Harris, Chuck Halley. I'm doing an interview tomorrow for John Nyland, who played guard for the Cowboys for 9 seasons, but played in 6 Pro Bowls, okay? And no one mentions his name. He's a 2-time All-Pro. So we had a lot of guys that I think deserve that recognition that don't get that recognition. But my thing is, if I do get in, and if I have an opportunity, every time I have an opportunity, I'm going to talk those guys up and try to get the groundswell going and interest in what they've accomplished, and maybe they'll get that recognition one day as well.
You know, compare
Too Tall's one of my favorite teammates, man. He is, and we're still good buddies. And, you know, he's the only guy that survived, 15 years as a player and maybe 40-some years in Dallas as a bachelor, okay? He never got married. And so we think that is a tremendous feat by Ed.
You know, compare what it was like in that huddle with Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, what it was like then, and now with a few years after that, being able to look back and just think about those moments of those two and the rest of your teammates on those Cowboys teams.
Yeah, that's a good question, Ballpark. You know what I think about when the first thing that comes to mind when you mentioned that is how professional we were, is professionalism. It was all about professionalism, and meaning that everybody knew their assignment. Everybody knew what to do. Everybody knew how to handle the situation. Everybody was prepared mentally and physically. And you just went out and performed your job. And, you know, in that, like the Hail Mary situation, we got in that huddle. You know, we were 91 yards away from a touchdown we needed with no timeouts, you know, a touchdown we needed to win the football game. When Roger came in that huddle, first of all, we don't have time to have a play in sent in from Coach Landry. You know, he has to have confidence that he prepared us well enough to handle those kind of situations on our own. And you got a quarterback named Roger Staubach, who, you know, is pretty much a pretty effective leader. So we kind of followed his lead. But when we got in that huddle on that for 91 yards, every time we got in that huddle on that drive, Roger would say, "Drew, what do you got?" And Roger knew the information I would give him was not based on emotion like normally you get from a wide receiver to a quarterback. You know, just throw me the ball. Don't worry about it. I'm open, always open. But he knew, because I played quarterback, the information I would give him would be more calculated and based on what I was seeing out there up until that point, and also based on our game plan, you know, that we had prepared going into that game. And so Roger would say, "Drew, what do you got?" And Ballpark, the coolest thing about that was nobody else in the huddle was saying anything. Billy Joe didn't say, well, what about me? Golden Richards say, I can get open on this. Preston Pearson didn't say, what about me? Billy Joe Dupree, you know. So anyway, you know, they knew in that situation because Roger took command of that huddle and because I had performed in those kind of situations before that, you know, what we were going to do was going to be based on what I said and what Roger was going to relay to the rest of the team as we broke the huddle. But in a normal situation, it was always Roger in charge. You know, Coach Landry sent in plays, but a lot of times Coach Landry would get confused on the sideline, you know, because he's trying to handle defense and offense, and he would send in a play that was for last week's game plan, you know, and then we're playing this week. So Roger would recognize that and take charge and call a play. As long as it worked, it's okay when you got to the sideline. But if it didn't work, you'd have to face Coach Landry and wonder why you didn't run the play he called. But anyway, Roger was the man in the huddle. Now, on the defensive side, Leroy Jordan, Bob Lilly, Harvey Martin, Cliff Harris, Charlie Waters, you know, I'm talking about professionalism. You know, that's what we were as a team. And that's the way we carried ourselves and the way we did things. We approached things like a business. More in a business manner. No nonsense, of course, around Coach Landry. It's all about discipline and doing the right thing. And he gives you an opportunity to fail, but he ain't going to give you too many opportunities to fail because he expects you to correct the failures somewhere along the line if you want to continue to be a Dallas Cowboy. But, yeah, Roger was the man in the huddle. I mean, he's a naval officer and all that, and he took command, and nobody questioned what he was going to do in those kind of situations.
Drew Pearson joining me. I go back to that Hail Mary, you know, completion and your touchdown. And my good buddy Paul Jones used to be in television here in Nashville, now in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He shared this with me, and so I will ask you, knowing what you know about sports memorabilia today, do you wish you had kept that football back in 75? Because I understand that somebody came up to you after the fact, you know, years later, and actually had the football of your completion there. So my question would be, why didn't you keep it? And then secondly, what was that like when you got reconnected with that particular football?
Well, to tell you the truth, that guy that brought it to me, I don't think it was the real one. He didn't have enough reason for that in explaining to me how he got the ball, that was the ball. But I recently, about a month ago, I did a private signing.
Right.
You know, this is talking about legendary stuff. I'm in a private signing with Joe Green and Roger Staubach, you know, and I'm a grown man and I'm still tripping, you know, seeing with those guys. There was a guy there who Roger works with that does private signing, a guy named Ben Lipsky, who had the original Hail Mary football. And the reason I believe that was the football, because he had a chronological history of the ball and how it got to the person that had it, and the person verified how he got it with Mike Lynn, who used to be the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, and Mike Lynn blessed it and verified it that was the football. And Ben Lipsky ended up buying it from this guy, and now he's in possession of it. Now, when I saw it for the first time there about a month ago, ballpark, just by sight, I could tell that was the ball. I could tell that was it, and I could feel it. That was the ball. And so Ben was glad I felt and reacted that way because he paid a lot of money for it. He wanted to, you know, make sure that was the ball. But he had an old written chronological history of how the guy found it in the parking lot, kept it all these years, finally went to Mike Lynn with it. Mike Lynn blessed it and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it was convincing enough to Ben Lipsky to buy it. But then when I saw that ball and felt it, I don't know if Roger felt the same way when he saw it for the first time, but I felt that way. I've done autograph sessions in Minnesota. I used to own a business that operated out of Hopkins, Minnesota for over 10 years, and no one's ever come up. I've signed programs, ticket stubs, and met people, but no one's ever come up and said this was the football. until that day I saw it. Now, that guy at one time did, but I knew that wasn't the ball. I could tell that wasn't the ball. It was too scuffed up on the ends of the ball, okay? If I threw the ball over the scoreboard, it hit the parking lot, yeah, it's going to get scuffed up, maybe, but not on the ends of the football like this ball was, like somebody had been playing with it in the street or something like that, and I knew it wasn't the ball because I didn't feel it. But when Ben showed me that ball about a month ago, I knew that was the ball because I felt it. And he wouldn't even let Roger and I throw a pass with it. That's how protective he was of that Hail Mary football.
I want to thank you for being so generous with your time. I have one more question. You know, you were honored at South River High School in New Jersey. You were honored at Tulsa. You've been honored by the Dallas Cowboys to be a part of the Ring of Honor. What's it going to be like when you hear your name as far as Pro Football Hall of Famer?
The best honor of all of them. You know, as a kid growing up, I never dreamt of being a Hall of Famer. I just wanted to be a pro athlete. Even when I made the Dallas Cowboys, I never aspired to be a Hall of Famer. I aspired my performance any particular Sunday as a Dallas Cowboy to be good enough to one day be warranted to be up in the Dallas Cowboy Ring of Honor. So to be even considered for the Hall of Fame, to be in that mix, you know, it's going to be the greatest honor. There's no doubt. And I'm going to be humbled. And the greatest thing about it, Ballpark, is that it's not so much about me at this point. I'm 70 years old. I don't have much time to live on this earth. But it's about the legacy. It's what you're leaving behind. You have the opportunity to leave something of very significance behind for your kids, your grandkids, the name of Pearson, and that type of thing. So that's the real value of it. And people ask me, you're going in now. Don't you wish you had gone in later? Yeah, sure I do. But let me tell you, the excitement's the same. If it went in 5 years after I retired or going in 38 years after I retired, the excitement's still the same. The anticipation to hopefully hear my name called in a positive way this time is something that I'm looking forward to. And when I get the opportunity to make my speech and accept that honor to be inducted in Pro Football Hall of Fame, it's going to be memorable. Not only for me, but for a lot of people. And you're going to need some tissue, Ballpark, because I'm going to make you cry.
Okay. I like that. I if you work in sports, been involved with sports, you can be moved to emotions, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. Hey, thank you once again. And by the way, if you want to keep up with Drew Pearson, keynote speaker, as you can obviously tell, very comfortable sharing stories, you can go to his website, drewpearson.com. Follow him on Twitter at 88, the original 88, by the way, at 88 Drew Pearson as well. Drew, thank you so much. Our fingers are crossed. We hope you hear your name coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you, Ballpark. I appreciate you having the original number 88.
Hey, my pleasure, buddy. Thank you so much. Hey, big thanks too to Mary Knox and the folks with LST Marketing out in Texas as well. You can keep up with them on Twitter as well at LST Marketing. And you know, it's interesting, we go back to when we had the journey down the road with all the memories with the Heisman Trophy winners and, you know, being able to get the stories with Tony Dorsett. And here's another person waiting for his name to be called to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which, by the way, he's the only person on the all-decade 70s team in the NFL not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is time for him to be in. And then we can keep on lobbying, too, for one Ed Too Tall Jones.
Yeah, that needs to happen. That both of them need to be in, especially nope. Ed Too Tall, who is, you know, how many people played and have a nickname like that too? You know, like that's you're too tall in the NFL.
You know, when he was at Tennessee State, literally, you know, quarterbacks would try to throw passes over him, and he would just knock them back. You could tell that, you know, Ed Martin, the former basketball coach as well at Tennessee State, you know, he had his eyes on him as well playing basketball. But, you know, it's if you're under 6 foot trying to throw a ball in the college ranks against Ed Too Tall back then, Yeah, good luck.
Drew Brees and Baker Mayfield aren't making it happen.
They would have some problems. They would have a few issues there. All right, if you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good evening. Traffic still moving out here on 24, even though it's heavy eastbound. Passing Bell Road in that construction, headed out towards Murfreesboro. Ewing Drive at Clay Mill Boulevard, that's over in Trinity Hills. Stewart's Ferry Pike at Hickory Hills Court. Two cars are involved there. Belinda Parkway, a little bit busy there. Up and down that sections of Belinda Parkway there in Mount Juliet. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken. You can order online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
You know, with most of the college football season over and done with, my buddy James Warren, who I went to BGA with and now owns Sir Speedy of Music City, he turned out to be right. My picks this year stunk.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the Gifts for the People.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of Gifts to the People, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be Gifts to the People in the near future. Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com. George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon, sunny, high 46. Becomes mostly cloudy with rain overspreading the area tonight, low 38. A period of rain possible Thursday morning, remains mostly cloudy for the afternoon. Utilizing the resources of the Willabug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. Clay in Nashville, welcome to the show.
Hey, Johnny, how are you?
We're good. How about you?
I'm good.
We're going to have to get Clay. Clay, if you want to call us back, bud, that your signal's breaking up real bad.
Maybe that's one of those phones from the 70s. Maybe that was like the first technology for the cell phones in honor of Drew Pearson.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but it sounded like he was, you know what it sounded like? It sounded like back when, like, do kids still do this? When they had, I know you probably did it when you were a kid, when you had your bike and you put like your favorite baseball card and you pin it to the wheel spot.
Where you were See, I never did that because, you know me, I appreciated the baseball cards, understood the potential value down the road of the baseball cards.
You didn't have like an enemy Like an enemy on the I'm trying to think. You're a Braves fan, right?
So my enemy is somebody else's hero, and so no, I would not destroy any baseball cards from the 70s.
I wonder if kids still do that, because you know, to make it sound like a motorcycle, right?
You know, I don't know. That's actually a good question.
Well, hopefully, Clay will call back in, and we'll get him back in. Actually, hey, here he is.
All right, so we'll let me know when you have him on.
He's ready. Really, he's ready when you are.
Once again, though, big thanks to Drew Pearson, and we really do hope he gets his name called as far as
now
that he's a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. All right, Clay, try again here in Nashville.
Can you hear me any better?
Better than that, but not great, but go ahead.
Johnny, I just wanted to start off today. I've done this once before. I lost a good friend today to liver cancer. Cancer is a terrible disease, Johnny, and it's ending people's lives too soon.
Amen. You know, continue for, there's never enough research, and, you know, there's so many different and terrible diseases that impacts us all, either directly or indirectly. So, amen. Amen to that.
I also wanted to say that I really enjoyed that interview, Johnny, being a diehard Cowboys fan, you know, back in the day when I was a kid. Roger Staubach and Drew Pearson were, you know, my two guys. And I echo that. That's a travesty, I think, that he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, so hopefully he will be soon.
Well, he is the lone senior finalist of these finalists for this year's group, and I would be shocked if he doesn't get in this year. Absolutely shocked.
How are you feeling, Johnny, about these games this weekend? Both Buffalo and Tampa Bay are obviously slight underdogs.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, that's the one I'm most excited about just because of what we're going to be able to witness, because we don't know how many more opportunities that we get to see this kind of greatness against each other with Tom Brady with Tampa Bay and Aaron Rodgers with Green Bay. I mean, I'm not a fan of either team, and it's one of those games I can just sit back and enjoy what is on the screen. As far as Kansas City, Buffalo, I mean, I feel sorry for Buffalo. Remember, four straight Super Bowl appearances. We have Marv Levy on each and every year, the head coach of those Bills teams from the 90s. It was a great accomplishment to make it to four straight Super Bowls, but they still didn't get a ring. But at the same time, you know, look at Kansas City. We don't know what Kansas City is going to be just yet. If Chad Henne's there, you like the Bills' chances a lot better. If Patrick Mahomes is there, different story altogether. So that particular matchup, we're playing the wait-and-see game whether or not Patrick Mahomes is going to clear protocol.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, you know, if he's cleared protocol yet.
No, he has not. He is practicing, still going through the protocol. It looks like thumbs up that he will play, but he still has not got the clearance just yet.
Johnny, are you an Alabama basketball fan at all?
Well, see, here's the thing, though. You know, with C.M. Newton, remember, I was a fan of Alabama when C.M. Newton was the head coach, and I remember all those early 70s teams, those great teams. With, you know, Leon Douglas. I mean, the list goes on and on. The year that Indiana went undefeated back in the mid-70s, it was Alabama that gave them the most trouble. Indiana eked out a win during the NCAA tournament by 5 points. And then Wimp Sanderson's era as far as at Alabama. So got accustomed to some really great basketball there. As far as what they're doing right now, I mean, this is coming out of nowhere. I mean, the fact that they were picked fifth best team in the SEC, you've got Nate Oates there as their head coach, and the fact that they have knocked off 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 7, those teams that's your rankings there in the preseason, and the only reason they didn't knock off number 5 is because they were the fifth team. So amazing, and not just winning these games, but the margin of victory by 18 points a contest against these opponents, that's what's really mind-boggling.
They're a good basketball team, Johnny. I mean, I don't think it's, you know, a fluke anymore. 22 threes last night.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing what they're doing.
It's their best start, I believe, since in the conference since 1987.
Yep. I mean, you have to go back to the Wimp Sanderson era. Last time we're talking about an Alabama team that is undefeated 7-0 inside the SEC and what they're doing right now. We'll see if it continues. But as far as taking care of business against the best teams in the SEC, they have certainly done that early on. Hey, appreciate your phone call.
Thanks, Johnny.
All right, coming up on the other side, we'll talk some Tennessee Vols. Will West will join us from Knoxville. Hey, by the way, speaking of the playoffs this weekend, listen up, football fans. I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called a same-game parlay bet, and they're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay bet allows you to combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the conference championships. Now, you can combine the money line, the over-under, player props as well, all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect your parlay. That's right. You can place a 3-plus same-game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. Now, the playoffs, the perfect time to give yourself that one opportunity there, if you haven't done so already, is just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel. And the reasons I like it, how about this? Ease of use. Easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. How about fast withdrawals? You know, when you win, FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you haven't done so already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started and use my promo code FRANKS to sign up. That's promo code FRANKS at sign up. And if you're a current customer, then you are all set. So go check out Same Game Parlays, only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. The max refund, $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
Good evening. Traffic still moving out here on 24, even though it's heavy eastbound. Passing Bell Road in that construction, headed out towards Murfreesboro. Ewing Drive at Clay Mill Boulevard, that's over in Trinity Hills. Stewart's Ferry Pike at Hickory Hills Court. Two cars are involved there. Belinda Parkway, a little bit busy there. Up and down that sections of Belinda Parkway there in Mount Juliet. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken. You can order online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rear view mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, there's no better way to start the day than with the Egg McBongo. It's perfect. A fried egg with cheddar jack cheese on an English muffin, that paired with a cup of coffee is the best way to start your day at Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can kick back and listen to the spin of vinyl records while enjoying a board game or two with all of your best friends. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2, Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed, this truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. we invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now. Or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. It's been an interesting hour. Dallas Cowboys legend Drew Pearson to start the hour. Now time to talk some Tennessee Vols. Will West joins us from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. So, Will, you know, over the last 2 days, we've broken down what, you know, transpired over in Knoxville with the whole Jeremy Pruitt Tennessee Vols situation with regards to the football program. Anything you're learning today that raises any eyebrows for you?
Well, I mean, today's the final day for them to enroll, or the day for their, you know, classes to begin at University of Tennessee for the spring semester. So we've seen Eric Gray, who's entered the transfer portal, Quaveris Crouch entered the transfer portal, Jameer Johnson's entered the transfer portal, Henry Tuotuo has entered the transfer portal. So that's kind of been the big story today. I'm going to be honest, let's be real. If you have options, you probably should take them, because we don't know where this is going to land for Tennessee. Eric Gray, I think there's a question about what would the eligibility be like for him, since he was one of the guys that had to sit out for that Texas A&M game. But those are big losses for Tennessee. It makes sense. I'm going to be honest. If those are my kids, they're not going back to Tennessee right now. So, especially if you've got options and you can go, if you're Henry Tuotuo, you can go to Alabama, you can go to LSU, you can stay in California and go to USC, you know, whatever you want to there. So, you know, for those guys, they have options. It's probably best to take those options, because I think, you know, your best case scenario is probably 4 or 5 weeks before you hire a head coach, and you don't know what that's going to look like. So why not go ahead and get the spring semester in, do spring practice at the next school you're going to go to, and work out if you're those guys.
You know, the interesting thing, I have known a lot of individuals that have worked for the NCAA as far as the enforcement part of the NCAA. I was halfway joking about it, but I'm not, you know, if I'm with the NCAA, I'm going, we got everything on a silver platter? What? I've never seen a program like what they did on Monday, just throwing it out there and putting on a silver platter. I mean, it's almost like you're asking to be put on probation for 3 years or more.
Yeah, I honestly think that once, especially, let's be honest, Johnny, right? Once you bring in the administration, if the administration's not willing to just look the other way, I do believe the beginning of this started with people trying to find a way to get out of Jeremy Pruitt's contract.
Right.
And then once they turned over a couple of stones, they said, oh my goodness. You know what I mean? And it was far worse than they could have ever imagined. I do think that what got Louisville and what got USC, of letting one of your coaches be one of the guys that does the dirty work in recruiting instead of having people that are in other, you know, op support and things like that doing the dirty work, I think that probably didn't help Tennessee at all. But I'm going to be honest, we all knew what Brian Niedermeyer was on that staff. That guy couldn't coach. So, and he's a nice guy. So I know that he's a really great recruiter. But this is kind of what happens when you promote that guy that does those things for you. Look at Urban Meyer, right? There's a reason he couldn't get rid of the wide receivers coach. He knew where the bodies were buried. And so it ended up getting him got at Ohio State. And so, you know, Brian Niedermeyer, everyone knew. And that's why, you know, the idea that Tennessee was, you know, if they fire Pruitt, they won't bring in Freeze because of all of the issues he's had. And I'm like, I mean, Brian Niedermeyer's the linebackers coach. Why would you now decide to develop a conscience when it comes to that? But Niedermeyer's gone too, and Jeremy Pruitt, it's hard for me to believe Jeremy Pruitt didn't know. But I think the administration didn't expect all of this to happen. And once they started turning over rocks, they were blown away with how bad it was and how blatant Tennessee was with some of it.
You know, and we don't know the answer. It'll be maybe 5 or 6 weeks. But right now, your gut, does it show you and tell you that Kevin Steele would be the acting head coach for 21? Or do you think it will be a new face, understanding what Tennessee will be going through as far as maybe, you know, having to live with probation?
I think it'll be a new face, I believe. I really do. Let's see what happens with the AD hire. That's going to be the big one first for Tennessee. There's kind of two camps. You have some people that want John Gilbert to come back. Johnny, it was the biggest train wreck I have ever seen. And I love Dan Wetzel, and I love Pat Forty, and I love Pete Thamel and those guys, and Wolken. I like all of them. For them to write about how Philip Fulmer made it a train wreck, it was a train wreck. I've never seen a bigger train wreck in athletics than what Dave Hart had here. They paid out millions of dollars because they were creating fake Title IX hearings for sexual assault, and they were violating Title IX doing that. I don't know if anyone's guilty of sexual assault or not, but I know without question Tennessee was violating Title IX with the type of hearings the fake hearings that they had. Multiple times they were sued for gender discrimination. They tried to blow out the compliance staff for catching Donnie Tindall red-handed in the middle of an NCAA investigation. They tried to run Pat Summitt out of Tennessee. Pat Summitt, of all people. They got rid of the Lady Vol name and logo. The Nike deal, they negotiated a Nike deal and got Tennessee about an eighth of what the rest of the schools that are the size of Tennessee got as far as revenue from Nike, and they ended up having to renegotiate that once those guys left. Everything John Gilbert touched at Tennessee or was a part of at Tennessee was a failure outside of hiring Rick Barnes. But that's the big thing, is he was the guy that wanted Rick Barnes, and he has a great relationship with Barnes. The players want Mark Ingram. That's who the former players wanted. He's at UAB right now, and frankly, he's done a spectacular job when it comes to especially development. And then hiring coaches, he does the thing Tennessee never does, which is he just kind of does the no-brainer of, hey, if I've got an assistant that's been there a while and knows it, let's do that. If not, let's get the next best up-and-comer that's the best one on the market. He doesn't try to outthink himself, which Tennessee could use right now as an AD. So,
and time will tell. We'll see how this all plays out. Hey, listen, yeah, I appreciate you, Will, as always. If you haven't done so already, you can keep up with Will on Twitter at WillWestWNML. We will certainly be in touch, Will.
Hey, thanks a lot, Johnny.
All right. Coming up, we'll wrap things up for the evening. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good evening. Traffic still moving out here on 24, even though it's heavy eastbound. Passing Bell Road in that construction, heading out towards Murfreesboro. Ewing Drive at Clay Mill Boulevard, that's over in Trinity Hills. Stewartsbury Pike at Hickory Hills Court. Two cars are involved there. Belinda Parkway, a little bit busy there. Up and down that sections of Belinda Parkway. They're in Mount Juliet. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken. You can order online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings, here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
When you're Middle Tennessee's community bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Zach Williams. As we talked about this earlier in the show, no Memphis Grizzlies basketball tonight. They were scheduled to take on Portland on the road, 8:30 for pregame, 9 o'clock for the tip. But because of contact tracing, due to COVID-19 with the Memphis Grizzlies, the game was postponed. Right now, they are slated to play again on Friday. We'll keep you updated. Maybe we'll know more tomorrow if whether or not that's going to happen. Big thanks to our visitors, Barry Wilner with the Associated Press in New York. Also, Will West over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. and very special guest, Dallas Cowboys legend. He is the lone senior finalist for this year's Pro Football Hall of Fame class. One Drew Pearson joining the show as well. Don't forget, start your Thursday morning off with the Bill King Show from 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the John Burton Show 9 to 11. Then Jim Rome comes your way from 11 to 2. And right before us from 2 to 4, it's the George Plaster Show. As always, we know you have choices, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. For Zach Williams, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have a great Wednesday night, and make it count.
WPDQ, Franksboro.